Good morning. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2020. It is the Thursday of the fourth week of Lent. It is shaping up to be an absolutely beautiful day out there, and hopefully you'll get a chance to get outside and enjoy it while maintaining proper social distancing. Of course, the priests have a conference call with the bishop this afternoon that, knowing us, will go on at least 2 hours, so I will get to look at the beautiful day from inside my office, but it's not a video call, it's just a conference call, so I suppose I could just charge up my cell phone and then go sit on my patio and listen to it from there, and that might be what I do, who knows. But hey, we're not here to talk about the weather, we're not here to talk about my daily schedule, we are here to talk about the scriptures, and in particular, this morning I want to talk about the gospel a little bit, because there's some kind of technical language that's being used there, so this might be more of an exegesis than a reflection, although I'm going to try to do a little bit of both. But kind of a lengthy gospel today, too, from John's gospel. So the whole gospel today is John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47. We're just going to look mainly at verses 31 through 40. So let me just read that to you so we're all on the same page here. Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life." So, a couple of things there. If you were paying close attention, or maybe you noticed it, the word testify or testimony was used a large number of times there. In fact, 10 times in those, 9 verses, Jesus is using the word testify or testimony. That's a big deal in John's gospel. And he comes to that theme quite often. And it's a big idea for today, and I think that's something that we ought to talk about, because we tend to think of testimony in a very juridic sort of courtroom-based sense, and that's not entirely wrong, but there's perhaps a little bit of a deeper thing going on here. So let's think about that just a little bit, and there's another thing kind of related to testimony as well that we should consider, which is... Well, let's just get into this and see what happens. Okay, so I guess before we get into testimony, let's talk just a little bit about what it means to be sent. It's kind of a minor theme in this particular reading, but it is attached to it, and it's kind of a bigger deal earlier in John, so it's worth mentioning. Earlier in John's gospel, when he's talking about John the Baptist, and that's going to get confusing, switching back and forth between the Baptist and the Evangelizer. But earlier in the fourth gospel, when he's talking about the Baptist, he makes it very clear to talk about how John is sent from God. Because this is a mission that John was given. God sent him to offer testimony to the light, who is the revelation of the Father. And so the evangelist is trying to make very clear that John's mission has a divine origin. John just didn't decide that he was going to start baptizing and preaching repentance and talking about how, like, the Messiah was coming and this was going to be soon. This was a divine mission that he was given. He was sent from God. God took the initiative here. And then in the gospel today, in this passage we just heard, you hear Jesus making reference to the fact that he was sent by the Father. This is the will of God, that Christ would come into the world, that Christ would be persecuted by his own people, that Christ would wind up taking the sins of all of us on himself and being offered as a sacrifice to the Father. it's the will of God that his son would die and then be raised from the dead. I mean, it, like, there's a divine origin to all of this. And that's just something that I think is worth considering. Like, this was always God's plan, and this is so much bigger than us. And through our baptism, we're also, well, we're called, but we're sent. And God has a plan for us, too. And, like, because we've been grafted into the family, because our souls have gone through this change at our baptism, like, there's also a sending forth for us. Like, we're now part of God's divine plan. We've always been part of God's divine plan. But if we're going to be living like a sacramental life, then we're really supposed to be part of this plan, and we need to cooperate with that. And he's got something for us to do as well, and we're being sent forth to do something. It might not be as radical, that's not the right word, as bold, maybe, as noticeable, as John the Baptist, and it might not result in giving the same kind of the same price that John the Baptist had to pay with his martyrdom, but there's something that we're being sent forth to do, and so that's the first thing, and maybe that is more important than I initially thought, but that's definitely something to think about. But beyond that, we've got this whole notion of testimony. And as I said before, when we think of testimony, we think of that, I think, in terms of court proceedings and the stuff you see on, you know, Law and Order and all that. And that's not entirely wrong. That's a big part of it, but that's not the only part of it. So let's try to tackle the whole courtroom thing first and see where this goes. Okay, so what makes John the Baptist such an interesting figure in John the Evangelist's gospel is that the Baptist is not just like the last great prophet to appear before Jesus, and not just a great preacher in his own right, and not just this, you know, wonderful baptizer who baptizes all these different people. But what makes the Baptist such an important figure is that he's also a witness. So here we kind of do get into the legal ramifications of testimony. He doesn't just come before Jesus. He gives witness to Jesus, right? He shares that information, which is what a witness in a courtroom does. A witness in a courtroom has information about a person, place, or event that he then shares with other people so that he can bring the truth to them, that he can shed some light to a given situation. John the Baptist is literally telling the truth to people, like the truth, capital T, the real, most fundamental truth, so that they can have some light in their life. I mean, every faith is founded on the testimony of Jesus Christ and his mission, right? It's what we are able to tell about him that brings faith to people. So the Baptist gives witness of his own experience of believing so that others might believe. His witness puts others in contact with Jesus. So there's this communal aspect to faith that's super important in John's gospel. That when somebody has this kind of experience, they do something with it. So when you think about testimony, particularly in John's gospel, there's kind of two aspects to it. You have to be able to believe in the testimony, and then that testimony has to create an experience. Which is to say, it has to become like a testimony of one's own experience of believing. That's kind of unclear, I think. I'm trying to find a better way to phrase it, and it's not easily done, right? But, like, I think you have to, essentially what it means is that you have to be able to articulate your relationship with Jesus Christ, or you have to articulate how Jesus has changed your life or what he's been able to do for you. And then you also have to live in a way that backs up what you've just talked about. Oh, you know, I have this great relationship with Jesus Christ and it changes everything about me. But then, you know, I go to Giant Eagle and I go full on Karen on the poor, you know, kid working at the checkout counter because I try to use an expired coupon or whatever. Like, you know, no. Your testimony can't be true because there's something invalid about that. You can't say one thing and do a complete opposite other thing. And That's probably not the best example, but I've looked at way too many memes this week. But it's something akin to that, that the testimony has to be something that evokes faith in people and then is backed up by the rest of your life. That it has to be believable, and you have to be able to create an experience for others. So when you get, like, looking back at the gospel today, Jesus is talking about all these people that gave testimony, that did all of these things, right? Like, John preached something that was believable, and you knew it was believable because people went and listened to him, and when they listened to him, their hearts were burning within them. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. Like, the people understood what John was trying to say to them, and John's life was so radically different that they knew that he was all in on what he was talking about. And when they read the scriptures, they know that there's something in there. And their hearts are burning within them when they read that. And the scriptures are so important to them because of the hundreds, if not thousands, of years they've been passed down within the people. And they study these things because they really, truly believe that this is the inspired word of God. Like, all these things, Jesus says, are giving testimony. But they're not accepting the testimony. They're not the Pharisees, which is, you know, really who he's talking to. It says Jesus said to the Jews, but he's really talking to the Pharisees. They're not letting anything be changed within them. They're not letting this testimony work. They're not, in a sense, playing by the rules. They're not, it's like going into a courtroom where the jury's been paid off or something. And that's not how this is supposed to be. I guess it's ironic that they're ultimate rejection of the testimony that Jesus gives leads to him giving the greatest testimony of all time, because it will lead ultimately to his crucifixion and then to obviously the resurrection, and so it winds up leading to this far, far greater testimony. But I suppose the reflection out of all of this, and you knew there was a reflection coming somewhere, is that we should think about our own testimony. I mean, because whatever our testimony for Jesus is, it's going to be different. Everyone's different because of their different experiences and their different walks and stations of life. And that's okay, because it's ultimately rooted in Jesus. But at the end of the day, the choice is still the same. And it's a radical choice for anyone to make, to testify on behalf of Jesus. Because it signifies an acceptance of him that deepens your own experience of him. Like, it's one thing to know Jesus. It's another thing to start to share that knowledge with others. And not just, like, that knowledge, but that personal experience. And as you're able to share that with other people, it deepens your own faith. Because it forces you to articulate what you believe more. But it just kind of also opens you up to receiving more from him. So I guess, you know, the question today is what is your testimony? How are you witnessing to Jesus in your life? How do you share him with others, and how do you let him change you to be the person that he made you to be? Maybe in these current days it's hard to give good testimony, and maybe it's not. I think when we're at our worst, and kind of, you could say this is the worst that it's been in a long time, that's when you really find out who a person is. So how are you witnessing? How are you giving testimony during these crazy days? But how do you want to give testimony moving forward? When we get back to whatever normal is, how are you going to be a witness? How are you going to give testimony? That's something to certainly pray about, isn't it? And it's certainly something to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you about. But just make sure your testimony is true. Don't be lukewarm about this. Be all in. Be completely changed. Be the person that God made you to be. That way you can do the work of building up his kingdom here on earth, and one day come to be happy with him in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, this turned into a much longer thing than I intended it to. You know what they say, never give an Irishman a microphone because he'll never put it down, and I'm proving that to be true. Have a great day, pray, wash your hands, and I will see you later on. God bless.